Hello, my friends. This is Brett Kiesling of the EO Podcast Network and host of the ESOP Podcast. This episode of the Owner to Owner Podcast with Jesse Tyler is the second of three parts where Jesse has called upon his colleagues at Hypertherm to look at a specific aspect of employee ownership. Usually, Jesse's guests work at company facilities where they're surrounded by many other employee owners. But Jesse was curious how the road warriors, often in sales and distribution, represent and reflect employee ownership when traveling away from their colleagues and fellow employee owners for a large period of time. Today's episode is truly international, with Jesse's guest based in South Africa, Europe, and India. Jesse talks to his guests where he finds them, and sometimes the audio is not quite the quality we prefer, but I hope you'll agree the authenticity of the recording reflects the experiences of Jesse's guests and makes it very much worth it. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner Podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner Podcast on the EO Podcast Network. This podcast grew out of a friendship with Brett Kiesling, who is an advocate for employee ownership. And this podcast is about hearing the voices of employee owners and have discussions about a range of ownership experiences and culture topics, and bring more insight to the individual ownership experience. Often in employee-owned companies, something we share is that we is the most common word, and I'm trying to have the guests use I and bring it to an individual experience. While I often feature rank-and-file workers, the goal of this three-part series is to bring more insights into the experience of sales and marketing, the faces of the company, often in remote and global locations far from the company headquarters in New Hampshire. To hear and learn from owners who do not see their coworkers daily, weekly, or even monthly. What does ownership mean to them? How does it impact their work and experience? So we're looking forward to hearing unique insights from Tim, Casey, and Kostin, and I'll let themselves introduce themselves in just a moment. For listeners here for the first time, we work at Hypertherm Associates, a global manufacturing and technology company that is a global leader in plasma cutting, water jet, and software to power the industrial economy. I want to introduce you to the voices of Hypertherm and let them introduce themselves and share a little about what they do and where they're calling in from. So Casey, if you could get us started, we'd love to hear sort of your name, your role, and we'll get the conversation going.
Jesse, thanks for the opportunity to be part of this podcast. Hello, everyone. I am Casey Srinivasan, and people call me Casey in short. I'm a distribution sales manager handling countries like India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh. I'm with Hypertherm Associates for more than 8 years now, and this is my longest tenure in any organization. I have more than 23 years of experience in welding and cutting industries, and I have a passion for helping my customers find the best solution for the needs. This is about me, and I'm excited to meet you all through this podcast. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Casey. Kostin, could you introduce yourself?
Sure. Also, thank you for the invitation. Great pleasure. My name is Kostin Onescu. I'm the strategic account manager of Hypertherm in Europe, Middle East, India, and Africa. I live, and right now I'm in Bucharest, Romania. So my role at Hypertherm is basically to develop relationships with the most important or strategic customers of Hypertherm, to help them, to support them to optimize their cutting operations, to improve their end-user experience, and obviously to also facilitate the adoption of our cutting technologies. I joined Hypertherm 2012, so 11 years ago, as a distribution sales manager in 14 different countries in Southeast Europe. But since 2016, I'm in the current role, working with about 90 different companies in 40 countries. And last thing to say, my last role before joining Hypertherm was a business unit manager for the HVAC division of European leader in HVAC, Lindab, a Swedish corporation.
Thank you very much. Tim.
Thanks, Jesse. And yeah, hello to all the listeners on this podcast. And you know, it's a great privilege to be able to share insights together. Yeah, so my name's Tim Sivrat. I'm the DSM or Distribution Sales Manager for the Sub-Saharan Africa region. For those that don't know the region, it's quite vast. It stretches on the west coast of Africa from the southern tip of South Africa all the way up to Nigeria, and then on the eastern side all the way up to Ethiopia, and then obviously everything in between. So it's a vast continent where you can fit North America, South America, China, Europe, India, virtually the whole world into one continent. So yeah, have a lot of fun there. I've been with Hypertherm now for just short, probably around about 18 months. So still fairly new. Before that, I held a number of roles with global companies such as Voestalpine Bowler Welding, ESAB, and held senior roles in those organizations in the welding industry. So my experience prior to joining Hypertherm spans around 25 years in the industry. Yeah, so just that's me in a nutshell.
That's great. Well, welcome aboard to the three of you. So I want to jump right in and ask you what you have found in your time, your different tenures. All of you have vast reach and many channel partners and customers. What is the same or different? And I'm really curious mostly about the differences. What's different for you working at an employee-owned company versus a private or publicly traded company? KC, if you could start us off, what's different about working at an employee-owned company?
Yeah, thanks, Jesse, again. Companies that offer ESAPs provide employees with an opportunity to become owners of the company. This can lead to a sense of pride and motivation to the employees to contribute to the company's success, as their own financial well-being is directly tied to the company's performance. This will also lead in taking initiatives, being responsible, accountable, and to deliver high-quality work every single time. On the other hand, working in a non-employee-owned company that does not offer ESAPs typically means employees do not have a direct stake in the company's success. While they may receive other benefits from the company, there shall be a lack of investments in the success of the company, reduced motivation probably, a lower sense of security, and lack of alignment with the company's goal. While both type of companies offer benefits to their employee, the nature of benefits can be quite different depending on whether or not the company offers ESOPs or an employee-owned company.
Thank you. And for listeners and even for the guests, there may be some hitches in the audio. When four friends are talking literally across four continents, there could be some hiccups in the Wi-Fi and the recording. So we just, for you as a guest, don't worry about it. We'll roll through. And for our listeners, we appreciate your patience as we talk across the vast distance. So we'll kind of incorporate that as a normal part of this. And even when I, most of the time I'm talking to rank and file workers, it's not any different. They often don't have adequate technology to record a podcast, and we just roll with it. That's part of the authenticity to the owner. And we'll have that with this global conversation. So Kostin, for you, what's different about working at an ESOP? You've been with us for a while. 11 yeah. years, you know, what do you find is a difference? We'd love to hear your insights.
Yeah, first of all, for me at Hypertherm, it was the first time to hear and benefit ESOP. And honestly, my first impact on our understanding as a new associate was pretty much limited to benefits. You know, I thought it's amazing that the profit will be also shared with me every year. So it took me, I don't know, a couple of years when I really understood the real magnitude and implications of associate share company. You know, even still talking about benefits, I understood that actually there is a long-term vision for you as an associate, and that you'll get every year new shares allocated to add to your, let's call it, retirement portfolio. So that long-term vision combined with a no layoff policy really gives people the chance to be more strategic, to also adopt themselves a long-term vision and to stay long in the company. Because you also have time then to dedicate for both personal development, but also for the organization development, even through, I don't know, simple things like continuous improvement. And I really believe that amazing things happen when people don't have that pressure of often strategy changes because of the quarterly results. I don't know, for instance, it helped me a lot to quicker build that belonging feeling. It accelerated my immersion in the company and, you know, feeling of the inclusion as well, because there are people out there saying that it's a mistake to get in love with the brand or the company that you work for. But then, yes, when you own a part of that company, even if it's a small part, then you feel less guilty to get in love and, you know, to invest passion in your work, and don't see everything just as a contractual relation with an employer.
That's great. I appreciate the insight. Yeah, my next question for the three of you is really extending the first question about, you know, does being an owner impact the way you work? You're already sort of answering that, but I'll give you all a chance to take another round on that as well. Tim, what's different about working at an ESOP or an employee-owned company for you?
Yeah, thanks for, I'll probably leave a little bit more detail as we unpack and go on a little bit, Jesse. So yeah, to answer your question, you know, I sort of immediately think, you know, the role that I'm fulfilling within Hypertherm as an ESOP organization is very similar to the previous job I had with a huge global welding brand. So the job per se, in terms of, you know, the roles and responsibilities are very, very similar. There are a lot of synergies. But the big difference about working for Hypertherm is you feel valued. And, you know, that's a very deep thing that I'm saying now. You know, when you feel valued, excuse me, that's my dog outside. So if you hear barking, it's not me.
That's but all right. Authentic.
You feel valued. And I remember going back to a little story when I was going through my interview process. And I remember our leader at the time, Andre Rombouts, you know, we were really just connected. And I even remember through the interview process, I said, oh, something's different here. And, you know, it's not like a new kid in the block. And I remember saying to Andre, I want to be happy again. And and I think for me, the key thing is value, because with value, so many things flow from value. Truly being truly valued, it makes you feel like you belong. And hopefully as we chat long, so I'll unpack my heart a little bit around what that value means. But that's just to me short and sweet. You know, value means everything to me. And working for an ESOP organization, you feel valued.
That's great. That's great. Well, if we can extend that slightly, Tim. How does being an owner impact the way you work? And I want to give you I want to give you context. I find it interesting to play around with the harder topics around employee ownership. And we've had some folks come in entry level to very senior level. And occasionally we get the comment that, hey, wait a second, I don't work harder because I'm an owner. I always worked hard. You know, I resent the implication. And other people say that their sense of belonging, their sense of value gives them a different dedication and they work differently because of it. So you can pick whichever way you want to go. But I want to hear from all three of you, does being an owner impact how you work? And if so, can you share some insight for our listeners?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you know, if you look at the question, what does ownership mean to you? I mean, it means everything to me. It means, you know, my contribution means something. You know, I'm not just an employee, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the term employee, but you really feel like it means something. And it also makes you feel like you're contributing to something far more than just profits for selected private investors. You know, there's a deep sense of privilege and a deep sense of, you know, you want to leave the organization. In when you go on one day, you want to lead it to the next guy coming in almost in a better condition than what you found it, because it means that much to you. So, you know, I just think that the ESOP model and working for Hypertherm, that drive is far, far more deeper than just looking at sales numbers and performing. And, you know, it goes far more than that. And then with that attitude, as a salesperson by nature, we are target driven. I mean, it's in our DNA, and that certainly doesn't go away, but you feel like you're contributing to something far bigger than just the numbers you see in front of you.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate the insight. And I think it really a recurring theme from, you know, talking over the years to really thousands of people about ownership and speaking at conferences. The three of you have very quickly touched on some key themes that come up, different ways, different formats, different ways of putting it. But, you know, continuous improvement is the ultimate ownership behavior. You want to leave the place better than you found it and make it better for those around you. A sense of belonging changes, it impacts your identity. It goes beyond, you know, punching in and punching out and just feeling valued. So it's neat. You've already brought up those themes talking to not just in the US, but globally, where those are very common themes that rise to the top. So I appreciate the three of you sharing that. KC, we'll go to you next for ownership. How does it impact how you work in the countries you work in and how you do your job?
Yeah, Jesse, ownership impact the way I work? Yes, certainly it has impacted in the way I work. The relationship with the company has changed being a owner. I would say that I have a stake in the company's success and my own well-being is tied up to the company's performance. So this means like this has led to a sense of pride and motivation to me to work harder and contribute more to the company's success. And ownership also has led to the greater sense of autonomy and decision-making authority in me. I would say that I have taken more initiatives and have been more proactive in addressing the problems and identifying the opportunities as I have a vested interest in the success of the company. This has led to a more entrepreneurial spirit in me and a stronger drive to innovate. In general, being a owner has led to a greater sense of commitment and responsibility to the company and has resulted me in being more productive, motivated, engaged in my work, which have a positive impact on the company's overall performance. So this has certainly has impacted being a owner in my work.
That's great. Kostin, what are your thoughts on this? Thank you, Casey.
Jesse, I wanted to say it's a good question, but if you don't mind, I actually found a bit of a rhetorical question. Yes, of course, there is an impact on our work. I mean, you really think different when you're part of such an organization. I don't want to say that you really think like an owner, like when you have your own company and you are the only owner of the company, but it's going in that direction a lot. I mean, and you are not anymore feeling like just an employee. In many organizations, I mean, traditional ones, people tend to focus on their work only and don't care to see the big picture or the impact of their action at the company level. And I can give some examples even from my career. You know, a salesperson might prefer to offer the highest possible discount just to comfortably secure the sale and personal bonus. You know, even that impacts the business profitability. Or decision maker at the production level might purchase, let's say, costly extra capacities just to make sure there will be no bottlenecks in their area. But maybe that necessary capital allocation will be the better return somewhere else. So there are thousands, millions of examples, you know, when you think about your own piece and not the overall. When you work for an ESOP company and, you know, you are exposed, and that's the great benefit of Hyperthem, that it shows you the entire process, how we make profit and how we share that, then you really start to see that big picture and the sense of your work. Then you also start often thinking about the overall implications, including profitability of the things you do. You know, you become more strategic. Instead of thinking about closing your next small deal on your list, you might think to work on something that it's, let's say, with a higher impact, more strategic. And one more thing to add here, I find a bit relevant. Also, when it's about spending money, you are also wise.
Yeah.
I remember in the early years, I used to do some really stupid calculations in my mind. I used to tell myself, okay, if for all the travels of this week, I choose, let's say, hotels or a flight with lower rates, I could save $200. You know, how much is that return for me as a profit sharing? So, you know, I started to do this calculation, dividing 200 by 2,000, well, at that time, 1,000 associates, you know, and taking from that result only a fraction that goes to profit sharing. So I realized for me that it's about like less than 5 cents, you know. But then I also soon realized that in a ESOP company, it's not only about me or you as individuals, you know, it's rather you should see it as a whole. So those $200 of savings, they go directly to our bottom line. You know, those money mean much more when you consider the overall capital allocation. And, you know, obviously the big impact is when most of the people start to think the same way, because like in Hyperthem, it's not anymore about $200, but instead probably many millions, and the return is more significant. You just need to have that mindset to think in that direction.
That's great. Yeah, one of our executive vice presidents, Jim Miller, who left Hypertherm last year to go be CEO, he would be out on the production floor and just talking to people that are sort of new to ownership and trying to make it real. He had a nice way of talking about it. And one of his things was, it's just a whole lot easier to save a dollar and move it over than it is to earn a dollar selling. It takes many selling dollars to end up with a dollar. But if we can work together, and, you know, for your example, if we have, you know, 2,000 of us globally saving 5 cents here and 5 cents there, at the end of today, we can have a lot of money that could go towards investing in the company or coming back to us profit. And when people get that, it's amazing. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast. One of the quirks of a company when people are really all in on it is that we don't do a lot with company swag, you know, giveaways, food at events. We used to do more catering type stuff to make it nice for people at training. And they started scolding me and my team like, no, this is too much money. I want it, my profit sharing. And so if you have that sort of drive from all levels and tenures, it's amazing what you can do to reinvest in the people and reinvest in the company and equipment. So that's a fun way to hear that. So I just want to make sure sort of a quick round, a sentence or two about what ownership means to you if you haven't already said it. Tim, we'll start the round with you. What does ownership mean to Tim?
I think, you know, it's something that is deep inside you. I always refer it to, you know, when you sit on the deck of your home, you know, and you overlook, looking at the sunset, you go, this is my home. You know, this is my home.
Nice.
And I think the same sensation and feelings I get for Hypertherm, something I'm incredibly proud of. I'm part of something, but that I, as an owner, contribute towards. So, you know, as again, I can leave it either badly or I can care for it and nurture it and put love into it, really. I mean, I'm not being too over dramatic here, but, it, you know, being an owner is, you're not so much a passerby. It's not so much a career step or you know, you feel like, wow, I belong. You know, I'm here, and it's something very deep for me that it's quite difficult to describe, to be quite honest with you. But hopefully, in my little way, I've made you understand what it makes me feel to be an owner. The fact that I can't articulate it too well tells you how deep it is for me, if you know what I'm saying, Jesse.
For sure, and part of this is sharing your voice and insight with the global ownership community so other owners can hear themselves and smile. I hope in a few weeks when this episode drops and people hear all three of you, I think there'll be a lot of owners out there smiling, saying, yeah, I can relate to that. Hey, that sounds like me. Or I just had that kind of conversation with somebody, we're going for that. And I didn't state it directly, so I want to, is that one of the goals of this three-part series with Global Hypertherm Sales is that for our associates who you do not get to spend time with, or it's harder to meet with limited travel to headquarters, for them, but also for other ESOPs that have a disparate workforce, increasingly owners, even in much smaller ESOPs that don't get to spend time together, camaraderie and insight. We want to bring your voices to our associates and other employee owners that are maybe back at a factory making the parts for the sales to hear your voice and understand kind of what that kind of experience is. And so I just want to make sure you understand the clear goal of this. And I think you're all doing a great job bringing those insights to it. So I want to ask Casey and Kostin about what ownership means to them. But what I do want to ask you next, Tim, you can start thinking about, is you guys are all kind of, we would say in the US, or at least in New England, we would say you're all kind of lone wolves, where there's, you know, there's people back at the headquarters that see each other all the time. That can be very easy on camaraderie. How do you do it when you each are responsible for, I think among you, I think about 75 countries, not 75 miles. So I'm going to come back to you on that one, because I think that's another way for you to express some of those insights. So let's keep going with the main question. Casey, what does ownership mean to you? A couple sentences.
Yeah, sure. To me, it's like the ownership means is a sense of personal responsibility and accountability for the success or the failure of the company. Definitely, ownership has been a powerful motivator, and it has impacted in the way I work, and it has helped me to foster a positive work culture and drive the success of the company. So this is what I feel about ownership.
Nice. Well said. Thank you for sharing. Kostin, what about for you? What does ownership mean, Kostin?
I mean, it's such a generous question. We could talk hours about this, but I will mention something from a different perspective. Ownership helps me to remove one of my frustrations. You know, I guess many people during their career think or dream about having their own company at one point in their life. It is that what if, you know, what if I stop now and open my own company and start creating value for me, for my family, or for my customers? You know, I'm not that different. I also think the same, and I have such thoughts. But then what ownership at Hypertherm made me realize is this. most likely I will not be able to create more value for me and for the customers if I have my own company than what I can achieve in a more mature, you know, better organized company where I can really leverage incredible amount of know-how, experience, technology, everything we have at Hypertherm, diversity. Yes, I can imagine it's more difficult for most of us to quantify and to realize that entire value we added when we work for an ESOP company than to your own company. But that value is there and it's big, it's huge. So I truly believe that my impact in this world, it's multiplied, even if I'm one of the many owners, but of a well-structured and developed company.
That's great. Thanks, all of you, for your insights. So I want to go with kind of the lone wolf question. So you don't get a lot of physical proximity. You don't get to have meetings in person too often with your team, let alone your manufacturing coworkers and others. Can you share a little insight on what your experience is? What would you want folks back at the manufacturing sites to know about your experience as our lone wolf out there in the many countries? Tim, if you could start us with that. What are a couple insights? What does it feel like?
You know, with my previous position, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I covered quite a vast area and I operated out of obviously South Africa and had my HO in the Middle East. So I would have to go back sort of once a quarter, maybe sometimes even 2-3 times a quarter. So it was a quite a smooth transition for me in that way. But I think ownership and being an owner makes things very different. I'll give an example. I get a kick out of it often. Like I'll go to like some places where you think, wow, you know, I'm taking Hypertherm, the brand, where it's perhaps we're busy with an expansion in an area we perhaps haven't been in before. And then I think of the people that have put love and passion into the manufacturing side in New Hampshire. And I'm going, wow, well, you know, I might be so far away from them, but I'm taking that article that they made with so much dedication as a fellow owner, and I'm actually going out there to promote it. So I make it really personal, Jesse. You know, for me, it's like, this isn't just a product. It's somebody, a co-owner of mine, that put a lot of passion into it. And I take that forward almost to say, well, I have the privilege. They don't have the privilege to see where the product goes to. So I try and almost put myself in their shoes and say, well, but if you could see what I would see. So I don't know if I'm making any sense, but, you know, I sort of had that sort of mindset. And right. Then I think for me, you know, it comes back to where you back the people in your organization, yeah. And you feel like you're part of the same team, and that what pulls us together is ownership, you know. And I think, you know, it allows you to, you know, we've had challenges. 2022 was a year of enormous challenges. And I think what you find being a lone wolf and being remote is, yeah, you might be on your own, but, you know, you've got this global team of owners behind you that makes the brand what it is today, which is one of the leading brands in the industrial sector in the world. I mean, it just, you look at our numbers and our market share. So you take that forward in your work. So it takes away a little bit of the lone wolf feeling, whereas if I can relate to my previous job, it was like, it does get really lonely. And I've found working for an ESOP that I don't feel as lonely anymore because of those very reasons that I've just alluded to, you know.
That's great. Thank you for that, Tim. KC, the lone wolf question, how does it feel to be the face of almost 2,000 of us, and what's your experience that you can share some insights on?
Yeah, so how does one of you feel when you are out on the road working remotely? Yeah, it's a challenging thing as such. Somebody working remotely can sometimes lead to feeling of isolation and disconnection from the company. But the ownership in us, in me, has helped to mitigate those feelings by having a stake in the company's success and being invested in this outcome. I feel a greater sense of motivation and engagement in my work. I also felt a sense of purpose and fulfillment in knowing that my contributions are helping to drive the success of the company. However, ownership can also bring its own set of challenges when working remotely. For example, owners may struggle to stay informed about the company's progress or feeling disconnected from the important decisions that are being made. They may also face difficulties in collaborating with the co-workers or communicating effectively with the other stakeholders. But overall, working remotely can bring in both positive and negative experience to the owners, but ultimately it depends upon the individual and the company culture. So that's what my thought.
Thank you, Casey. Kostan, what are your adding thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I fully resonate with Tim and Casey. And, you know, I could only give a different spin off of all this. And you are spot on, JC. This is how I felt as a DSM. Mainly, I remember a long wolf, you know, having only sporadic interaction with other hypertherm associates. I used to ask myself, what kind of owner I am if I'm not there in the middle of the action? You know, where is the company?
Yeah.
On the other hand, we need to admit we had our share of social interaction, you know, with partners, with customers. So we're not that alone. I mean, we had that privilege as well. But then all this, to be honest, for me, was solved recently. One of the positive things of this unfortunate pandemic was that the online interaction skyrocketed, you know? So suddenly everyone was equal to us, remote people. So sitting all in front of a camera and having the same chance for interaction and, you know, and contribution. Mm. So even for us, initially it was overwhelming for the remote people. Now I don't have that feeling that I'm disconnected anymore from the rest of the organization. You know, we have regular meetings, and I know it's not the same like face to face, but still it's a big step ahead for us being more present in the life of the company after all.
That's great. And if I can share some insight, if you haven't heard this from others, what I observe doing learning and development is that things have almost flipped. So with Teams, there's this vibrant hypertherm community and culture with a much more equity because of our adoption and success with Microsoft Teams. But what has happened on the other side for operations that we're working on assertively is that if they're at a machine all day, they don't use Teams. And so what I ran Exploring Leadership yesterday, and we had Brazil, UK, Western United States, and a bunch of people in the room as we're playing around with everybody's on Teams, but some can sit together because they're there. But instead of you sitting in Bucharest, just seeing a big blank room with a bunch of little heads in it, everyone's got a one-on-one technology. And so it's interesting because now we didn't have the right tools that felt right until Teams really was a game changer for us, which has been awesome. But now we're trying to get our operations folks to have tablets and have one-on-one tech so that they can connect with you. So it's an exciting time to see how one change in technology can build more sense of a community. But it's wonderful to hear that's your experience. So I want to do a quick for our listeners to give some global context. So an ESOP is a U.S. tax structure. So when employee-owned companies start to have employees, associates outside of the U.S., they can't directly be involved in an ESOP. It's unique to the U.S. So our Canada and beyond, where we have, I don't know, I think we have 300 people sprinkled around the world. So for Casey, Kostan, and Tim, they're part of our Global Stock Value Program. And for a little insight, we have helped other ESOPs develop this because ownership was started at 30% of the company. Employee ownership was started, associate ownership was started by Dick and Barbara Couch, the company founders. And 3 years later, they were able to implement the Global Stock Value Program. And so other ESOPs have come to Hypertherm and our plan administrators and finance for help and advice to say, okay, we've got global folks and we want to include them equally. But I just wanted to give a shout out that for our international associates, ownership is, they've been active since 2004. And the key thing is that, which is my understanding in the ESOP community is somewhat unique, is that a global stock value unit is the same exact value as an ESOP share. And so that's leading me, the insight for the listeners, but also leading all of you to the next question. You are working in many countries that have not heard of, had discussions over the years, and they've never heard of employee ownership. So I'm really curious, and we'll start with Kostan. We'll start off. How do you talk about ownership with customers or partners when it might be a completely unheard of concept in that country, that area? Love to hear that so we can hear that sort of the lone wolf voice and teacher. You're all teachers as well. What are your thoughts, Kostan?
Yeah, like I said, you know, it was also for the first time for me to hear about this. So, but take every opportunity to speak with partners, with customers about this. My relation with some of the distributors, and in Europe, many of them, these are long-term family businesses, usually medium-sized, you know, 20, 30, 40 people. So the relation with them was in such a way that we used to discuss also outside of the usual Hyperterm topics, you know. Often we will discuss about, I don't know, family implications, business development, ownership status. So therefore, I often used our ESOP example to open also their perspective and even to challenge them thinking about the future and their success of succession planning, you know. And most of the reaction, honestly, very positive. And like you said, only the lack of similar local legislation as in USA maybe stopped them to progress with the idea. However, when it's about the end users that I'm, you know, responsible now, because these are very large corporations, I mainly bring this topic in discussions, let's say, when I do, let's say, introductory presentations about Hyperterm, briefly explaining how we work, how we function, because I don't have any hope to change a corporation, you know, their structure. I mean, it's just sharing about the how we work, how we function, let's say. But again, in the distribution, the dynamic was a bit different. I was even trying to impact and influence them a bit.
That's great. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm just curious for the insight, because you might be the one who is not only representing our brand, but you're in a way, not to put any pressure on the three of you, you might be also representing the global employee ownership movement, which is growing, because you might be the first one to bring it up. So Tim, what about for you? How do you tackle this one?
Yeah, it's interesting listening. I mean, I'm obviously being very proud, and one's got to come across in the right way, but I often explain to my customers and obviously to our channel partners that make it all possible and are really such a deep part of our business. You know, I make them understand that I'm an owner, you know, I'm not an employee. And that translates to something where, you know, the relationship goes a lot deeper. You're talking to someone that has a real concern is perhaps the wrong word, but you have a vested interest in your company. And as such, you want both your partners and customers to genuinely enjoy the Hyperterm experience, not only just the products, but what we bring with our products, which is the people. Because with that passion and that commitment and just the pride, that gets translated into our product. So it's almost like, well, here's the cake. I made it. What do you guys think? You know, please enjoy the cake, you know. And that's really, really important to me. And I think if I look at where, you know, I'm fairly advanced in my career. So seeing a lot go ahead of me and in front of me. And I want our customers and our end users to know that I really value the relationship as an owner. And the Hyperterm ESOP model allows me to do that. And I think from that, especially your channel partners, they become your friends in many ways because it's so personal.
Yeah,
that's great. That's great. Casey, do you want to add to this?
Yeah, I can have a few points. I take an immense pride in explaining to my partners and customers that I am one of the most reputed plasma collecting company in the world. And it always feel proud and joy in explaining to them that what a wardenship means to me. And this has definitely helped to build trust and reinforced my commitment in delivering good service and exceptional service and value to the customers and the partners. I also as a owner, I also feel to get a feedback from the customers and partners so that I show that I value the customers and the partners' feedback and are open to suggestions to continuously improve my work. So this has, as a owner, has helped me. And to the partners and the customers, it has built a relationship and trust in me.
That's great. Thank you to the three of you. So I've got one more question for you, and then I want to just give you a moment to share why somebody should join you at Hyperterm. So I'll explain those. So two more stops on this conversation before we wrap up. So Casey, maybe you could start us off. If you today just brought ownership to three words, What three words would you choose to describe ownership?
In my opinion, like the three keywords to describe a ownership is like responsibility, the commitment, and empowerment. So definitely as a owner, it adds more responsibility, it needs more commitment, and being an owner, it empowers you. So these are the three to me: responsibility, commitment, and empowerment.
That's great. Thank you. Tim, do you want to follow that up? What are three words from South Africa?
So very clear. First of all, it's a real blessing. Proud responsibility.
Nice. Thank you. Kostin?
Yes, and meaningful. Your work has a meaning, you know, belonging and profit.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, it's an interesting in many conversations of ownership where what I've settled on from learning from talking to so many people is that we should absolutely acknowledge the financial potential, the wealth building potential. But then when hearing in your voice, it really is the daily experience and optimism for tomorrow. So it's an interesting one, because when you look at a global stock value or ESOP, it's really a retirement vehicle. That's all it is. So why are people so passionate? If it feels good to come to work, you feel cared about, you look forward to being working hard and getting through challenges with people that you enjoy, you can laugh hard in challenging moments. I think that's sort of the daily experience. I think you've all shared that with great warmth and insight for our listeners. So the tradition in the effort to amplify ownership, I ask all ESOPs, including my own, as the last question in our podcast, why should somebody looking for a new role join Hypertherm? You're all owners, so you need to help the talent acquisition team. Why should somebody join Hypertherm, join you? I'll start with Kostin and we'll go around from there. This is your chance to plug working at Hypertherm and help our fearless talent acquisition leader, Carolyn Stone, and her team. The floor is yours, Kostin.
Okay. Well, you should consider an ESOP company. I mean, if you want to have the skin in the game, if you really want to directly benefit from the success of the company you work, and will also help to develop entrepreneurial skills, you know, and that will help you in the career, no matter if you will stay with an ESOP company, or it will help you a lot. And on top of that, in an ESOP company, you'll see more often empathic behaviors, you know, and respect for the individuals. That's my feeling, and I believe I'm not wrong. I mean, there are so many things to say. And another big difference is that when you compare is that you really have that long-term vision here. You know, you could work for a regular stock, a public company, and you could buy shares in that company. But that's a big difference, because that involves a money transaction, you know, a call transaction that you do. The ESOP systems force you to stay away from that transaction trading mentality and to adopt more, if you want, the Warren Buffett long-term philosophy. So it's really change your mindset. And however, one last piece of advice, let's not forget also to be grateful and to don't take this ownership for granted. I mean, yes, it's part of the package when you will start as a new associate. But let's not forget that many, many people in Hypertherm cases, thousands of people, especially the initial owners, you know, Couch family, they all created that value in the past, you know, years or decades. That value is shared today with you. So we need to remind this, you know, from time to time, that we need to be grateful about that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, let's do our best work today and be mindful of each other's tomorrow, for sure. KC, why should somebody join you at Hypertherm?
Yeah, to add on to what Kostin said, like Hypertherm Associates like provides a great opportunity for employees to grow and advance in their careers. And it has a great company culture. A positive and supportive company culture can be important for an employee who want to feel valued and engaged in their work and whatnot. Like, we also have Hypertherm prioritize the work-life balance and offers flexible work arrangements. And to add on to this, like, they have a comprehensive benefit such as like ESOPs, profit sharing, health insurance, retirement plans, and paid time off, whatnot. So this is one thing. And other thing is like Hypertherm is also like is focused on making a positive impact in the industry and the community. Hypertherm values ethics and environments over the business. So these are some of the great features of a great company. And they also provide innovative work environment, invest in cutting-edge technologies and processes that can provide employees with an opportunity to work on an exciting and challenging projects. Also, Hypothem encourages collaboration and teamwork. This can be a great option for those who enjoy working with different people and cultures and value the benefits of diverse perspective. Overall, Hypothem is a great company to work for, and definitely people will love to work here. And this is the reason I would recommend somebody to join Hypothem Associates.
That's great. Thank you, Casey. Tim, you want to finish us up? Why should somebody join you as a coworker somewhere in the world at Hypothem Associates?
Well, I've got such two great associates on this group that, you know, it's actually very little to add because they were very eloquent in explaining Hypothem. But, you know, if I was talking and looking at them, I would say, well, first of all, if you can see me through the screen, I look really happy, don't I? So it's got to be something to do with the organization. But I think, you know, the opportunity that is presented to you, and we mustn't forget that you come into an organization, and I'll get to that a little bit about what the organization stands for. But you have a founder in Dick Couch with that produced something special with a bit of help from his lecturer and then a little bit more help. The two of them did something really special. And then you come into this organization, you haven't invested a cent, yet the organization says, well, we'll bring you in and we'll give you stock shares in the organization and allow you to grow financially, which, you know, that's not the driving force. But I come back to originally what I'd said before, you know, you're truly valued, not only as a, you know, the punchline of an employee and so on, but you truly valued for who you are, because you're effectively joining what is an amazing company with amazing brands. I mean, just mention the word Hypothem in the plasma sector or even in the industrial sector, and many will say, what a fantastic product. And I think what's added to that is fantastic people. And I think Hypothem is, as an organization, it's got a deep-rooted culture to make this world a better place. And I know that sometimes sounds, what we call it in this side, a little bit too soft. I don't want to be disrespectful in the saying, but I think, you know, it's like, yeah, rah, rah, rah. But I mean, it truly is, you know, I think back of our founder and his vision and, you know, getting to this ESOP 100% associate-owned company. I mean, it's unique in the world. It's unique in the world of business. And yeah, it's just, it's the best organization to work for. And, you know, coming from me, it's somebody been in the industry for many, many years. So that's hopefully what I would convince the person to join what is an amazing company.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I appreciate the time in your afternoons and evenings, my early morning in New Hampshire, to be so open and share your personal experiences and insights, but also talk about our shared company, Hypothem Associates. So that brings our conversation to a close from the Owner to Owner podcast. Again, I'm Jesse Tyler, doing this for the EO Podcast Network to bring more voices of ownership out and hopefully have people or thinking of selling their companies to their employees, hear the voice of their own employees in Casey, Kostin, and Tim during this conversation. And I'd like to close with, whenever possible, please buy employee-owned, eat employee-owned, and work employee-owned. Thank you very much to the three of you for your time. Really appreciate it.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.